welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. My name is Joe, and joined with us is Glenna. She is the Connections and Next Steps coordinator here at Bethany.
Great to be here today.
Yeah, so if you're interested in membership or baptism or anything like that, Glenna is going to be the person you're probably going to talk to. So, and then we also have Pastor Thad. He preaches on stage sometimes and goes farther and longer than he should a lot. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's
good. Depends on who you ask, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But this is a Bethany Church podcast, and every week we get to dive in deeper into the Word and into the sermon to just unpack it a little bit more. And this has been an incredible series that we've been going through, Living Free, and this is part five. We're on five. So, man, I'm excited about this coming sermon, and the past sermons have just been so good.
Yeah, in a real sense, this is the sermon that's going to kind of put a bow on everything, just going to kind of wrap it up. And, you know, I'm so appreciative of this series, and I am of every series, but it's just, it's neat to see how God works through different series as we cover His Word.
Yep.
You know, David started us off. He kind of set the table to kind of help us understand where we're going. That was really good. But then how special was the first step? Falling on Easter, when we talk about the importance of salvation, because man, you're just defeated in spiritual warfare. You're just defeated and unable to live free if you don't first bow the knee and to submit to Christ. If you don't first come to Him in salvation, and we can't run past that first step because we can't assume that people are of faith, and so we have to absolutely cover that. Even if they've been going to church for a while, we have to absolutely cover that. And then, how beautiful is that to say all of this is guaranteed by the resurrection? Right, it's given to us through the cross and what Jesus did for dying for our sins, but then guaranteed through the resurrection and then ascension into heaven. And so, how just incredible that truth is. So that was Easter, and then the second step, which we'll hit, we maybe mention a little bit today, but just how unbelievably deep it is to think about dying to oneself on a daily basis. And so just being able to cover that and to maybe even give some application steps of here's some things that can help you die to self. You know, don't tempt yourself to crawl off the altar, right? Stay dead to self, let Christ live through you. And so we're going to kind of pick up on that again today or the next step from that. But then David also covered a very important step when he talked about this. If that's the beginning of passionately following Christ and dying to self, then we need to be recognized that we need to passionately follow Christ together. And we push grow groups here, we push application and accountability because we believe that we need each other. We need each other to do this together. And we'll even see this even in the text today, which again is why this is wrapping up so good with a bow, because it takes everything before and bringing it to us today. So again, just really excited as we look at, you know, we've come to Christ as Lord and Savior. We've died to self. We understand we need to do this together. And today we're going to talk more about the warfare, the weapons of warfare, and things that we need to talk about.
My favorite part.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good. So
the thing everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah. I think there is a real element of that.
Yes.
We should be interested in not weirdly interested in spiritual warfare, but we should be very interested in spiritual warfare because that is a part of living free, right? That is that is how you're able to live free as you're in this battle. So, absolutely. So, in the sermon, you know, we started right off very expositional. Started off in verses 10 and 11, and it says this: "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and put on the whole armor of God." Clearly, this is a spiritual battle, and the strength to win in this spiritual battle is not ours. Right, we talked about dying to self, and as we die to self and we give our bodies to the Lord, we then ask Him to live and work through us. And as you look at the text here in Ephesians 6, 10 through 11, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." In other words, it's God's strength. It's Christ's strength. Yeah. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and you remember our Colossians series, In Him, if you just look in Ephesians chapter 1, it's in him. Everything is in Him. Our power to do this is in Him, and it's such an incredible dynamic to recognize that.
Yeah, and it's nice that I don't have to rely on my own strength, because if I had to rely on my own, I'd fail, like, every time. It's not even funny.
Right.
But again, going back to that first week when you're talking about die to self, so Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live."
Yep.
You know, I'm not in control, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's kind of it's interesting when you're talking about that living and it being Christ. If you stay in the driver's seat, right, then you're on the throne. You're not dying to self. You're in control. You have to let that go so that Christ can be in the driver's seat and Christ is in control and Christ is driving it and you're in him and you keep moving forward in that. As a piece of that, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Again, let Christ live through you. Imitate Christ's life. Follow his teachings. All of these things. John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, this is Jesus praying, so I've sent them into the world. Do you guys remember the old WWJD?
Yep.
So I had a college professor who liked it, but he would say, should it really be, what would Jesus have me do? And he says, he thought, you know, that's a little bit more accurate point, you know, because God may not have you do exactly what Jesus did, but he would have you do what Jesus would want you to do.
That's a good point.
And so it's just one of those things where that's such a huge recognition and first part of that as we move forward. Continue on in verse 11 and 12 there. It says this, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, cosmic powers of the present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I love the word stand there, and he uses it several times.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Because it gives the idea of, especially when it's used in a military sense, of defending a ground, not allowing the enemy to have it.
Yeah.
Christ has won something for you. You are living in him. Christ has given you this. There is victory in the world. You need to stand that ground and stand firm and not let Satan overtake you defeat you in this fighting. There is this calling here to stand strong and don't give an inch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember there was some pastor preached on this a while ago that I remember listening to, and he showed a scene from Gladiator, and I know it's like rated R, so kids don't watch it, but it was amazing how they would stand their ground, and they had like these spikes, like nails coming out of their shoes so that they could dig into the ground and then hold, and then people would just ram them, and you know, a powerful visual thing of the spiritual battle that we should be fighting against in our lives. It's not like this, oh, stand your ground, just don't, you know, it's like dig in and don't give the enemy an inch.
Yeah. Well, and the whole idea too that I don't dig in because I don't even have the power to stand. Mm-hmm. Even that part is a total faith surrender to what the Lord wants for me is to, okay, he will help me stand here and fight this battle.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't even have that part within me, you know, it's to stand.
It's so amazing because in these passages, it is Christ truly working through us, but this is not a passive situation.
No.
You know, what you were saying, this is an active spiritual war. When he says to stand, that doesn't mean just ho-hum, I'm standing here with my hands in my pocket, right? It is a very active standing in defense of truth, in defense of what Christ has given us and our calling and all of this kind of thing. So,
and even going back to even last week where David preached on we need each other and it's the fellowship, and even our grow group, the men, have decided we're on a group text together. And so the other day I was like, hey guys, I really need prayer for, like, I'm getting annoyed with my kids because they're asking me so many questions. Would you please help me love them and give me patience? And they're like, yeah, praying for you. Pray for me for this. I'm like, this is what brothers and sisters are supposed to do with each other, where we're praying for each other. And not only are you digging in to stand your ground, I'm right next to you.
And when you're feeling like you're wavering or a little weak, the rest of us are here, you know, next to you, you know, coming alongside. You know, we talked about that also from the last week's sermon, is coming alongside and kind of helping you stand up here. I know this is a hard spot, so we're gonna brace and help you too.
So you guys are totally jumping ahead, but since you did, let's just, we'll come back to where we are. But let's just jump over there for a minute, because it seems to be, maybe that's where the Spirit's leading a little bit. That's so important, because when it's talking about the shield of faith here, I think probably, I don't know this with absolute certainty, but it's talking about the long shield of the Roman infantry. And these are almost body length shields that were coated with a certain kind of oil that could it would not catch fire when the enemy would shoot arrows with, mm-hmm. with fire on them. But what's interesting is, you know, Romans are famous for the I think it's called the phalanx battle position. So what that is so each one would have their shield, and if they're ready to move forward or ready to defend from arrows, they would bring them all together. They would bend down. Another one would come stand closer to them and set the shield over the top. It would create almost like a turtle shell all around them. And they could move together, forward, take ground, backwards, side to side. Even if the enemy was shooting from the top of a castle, right, the gates of hell that we're supposed to be attacking,
right,
it's going to hit those shields.
Nice.
And so it's one of these dynamics to where, we do this together. You stand your ground and you take your ground together. Because in that same passage when we're, and it's called the shield of faith, right? So we have this belief where that's faith in God and all these things, and how you can call on your brothers to help with prayer because you believe in prayer. You have that faith that prayer will work. And so you have this ability to come together and stand strong. You know, it's not just the force of one. It's the force of many together, all in the Lord, defending this. And then it also talks about if you stand, in another place in Scripture, if you stand, it says, the devil will flee from you. Mm-hmm. So imagine you have these shields, you're standing, the arrows aren't working. The devil begins to flee or drop back. And so you begin to push forward and take more and more ground. And then once you take that ground, then you stand and don't give an inch, and you take more ground. And eventually you hit the gates of hell, and you begin to take that. Because remember, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against this gospel, right, when he's talking to Peter. And so understand, it's we take ground, we stand. We take ground, we stand, and eventually we even come up against the gates of hell itself, and we'll take that too one day. So, with the power of God.
crazy. So what does that look like practically as a Christian? What can I do to not only stand but help others with my shield of faith? And then, what does it look like spiritually to move forward?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
All right. So even with this, and I really want to go back to talk about the warfare, and we're get to all those questions,
off
right?
Here.
And it's good. It's good, right? This makes it interesting. Make sure that I know my stuff, right? So there's this dynamic where it talks about the schemes of the devil. Right beforehand, and we're getting into this warfare, and he's shooting the arrows. What's happening there? And so clearly, the devil himself, and if you look at all the different names of the devil in Scripture, you can kind of get a feeling for who he is and what he's trying to do and how he's trying to attack us. But even going back into Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about where we were and gives us some idea of it's not just Satan himself, but it's his schemes and it's the world around us. So Ephesians 2, chapter 2. Verses 1-3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And so you can see in that description there that we have to come to Christ, right, to even be on the right team, to be in a place where we can live free. And in this dynamic, it talks about both our flesh that we talked about dying to first. Then it talks about the course of this world who follow after Satan or after the prince of the power of the air that's in the work of the sons of the disobedience. So understand it's Satan. It's all of these spiritual principles and entities. And it's the world system that follows after those beliefs. Mm. That's every day. I mean, that's a that's a heck of a war. And we need that supernatural power of Jesus Christ to be able to overcome that because our numbers are certainly fewer. And so anyways, we're under our shields. We're all together. Now, we understand that it's the world systems that follow after a way of Satan and sense of disobedience and all those kind of things and people following after the flesh. All that we're dealing with, even our own flesh, stuff like that. So we need that supernatural power of Christ. We're moving forward together with our shields of faith up. Okay. So now, what does it look like to wage some of these warfare? So let's look at some of these weapons, okay? So it talks about the belt of truth. Commentaries vary on some of this, but when we look at truth right here, we know that we're going to talk about the Word of God just a little bit. I think when it talks about the belt of truth there and gathering up the Roman's tunic or robe or however you want to call it, it is truth based off of the Word of God, but it's probably speaking more to the truthfulness of who we are, our sincerity, our authenticity in our belief of the truth and living it out. So if you think about it, the Romans had their belts. And when it came time for war, they would pull up their tunics or their robes, and they would tie it together, tie it very tightly so that they could move and do warfare. In other words, there were no loose ends that could get them in trouble as they fought.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Is there anything in your life that you have not given over to the truth of the Word of God that's still hanging out there? Cool. Is there any area that's of good. Your life you haven't bounded up and said, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to be truthful in who I am, and I'm going to give every... There's no area over here that I'm hiding. I'm not even saying it's a bad area. It could be a good area, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But is there an area out there that you haven't bound up under the truth? So that you are truthful in who you are underneath the Word of God? Have you allowed in reflection and examination every part of your life to be there? That's one aspect as you get ready for warfare, is the entirety of your life truthful in reflection of the scripture.
Yeah, I feel like I need to stop the video and get a piece of paper and pen out and write down everything. You know?
But think about it, because if your life isn't fully under the examination of scripture, right, and you reflecting this truth, that makes you vulnerable in spiritual warfare. Same with the breast.
You could trip.
Yeah. With the breastplate of righteousness here. Now, we have imputed righteousness we have from Christ, but I agree with those who think this is really talking about this righteousness as we're working in sanctification with God. You've heard the phrase chink in your armor, right? Mm-hmm. So normally that breastplate would be leather with bone or metal in it, or a fully plated metal there. And it protects your vital organs, right? Yep. Those things are so matter that if you get struck there, you could die. So just like with the truth, we want to make sure that every area is examined. This is dealing with sin, your active sin. This breastplate of righteousness, is there a chink in your armor? Is there a sin that you're coddling and not letting go of? Is there a weakness in that armor that Satan could get through and spike you that could be fatal?
Wow.
Fatal to your reputation, fatal to your walk. Not fatal in the sense of loss of salvation, but fatal in that it would hurt you and damage you. So in one sense, belt of truth, are we taking up all of our loose ends? And in the breastplate of righteousness, is there any sin that's our unrighteousness? Remember when I said die to self, you give your body over as instruments of righteousness. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're holding on to that is unrighteousness, right? Mm-hmm. That is sin. So examine your whole life, leave no area uncovered, because that could be good things. And then is there sin that you're not giving over that are bad things that make you vulnerable? It gives you a chink in the armor. So
kind of opens the door for, that's the place where that little voice condemn you, can tell you you're really not what God says you are.
Absolutely.
All of those places. Yeah, very easy.
Big time.
Very easy for that to happen.
Yeah, and that brings you to the power of examination and reflection in your own life, and then the act of sin in your life and how important it is to deal with those issues. So again, what does this begin to look like? We're talking about a dying to self, an examination, a reflection. We're talking about dealing with sin in our lives so we continue to move forward. We're talking about the idea of I believe the next is the shield of faith, our faith in God, and the idea of, okay, so we have it to body length to block those arrows of Satan, those flaming arrows of Satan. But remember, he's writing to the entire church, not just individuals here. And while this is good for the individual, it's good for the individuals together as the church, as we take ground, right?
Yeah.
That calling all of us to work together, which then brings us into the phalanx that we talked about before. So we are doing these things, and we are doing these things together, and we're locking shields in faith, believing in God, and we are defending ground, and then we're taking ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember someone said in our preaching team, some people would say there's defensive weapons and offensive weapons, and there's true, there's elements to this. But in one sense, the sword is not the only offensive weapon, particularly when we say, when we stand, the devil flees.
Yeah.
And then even probably in some of the movies, I can't remember if it was on this podcast or maybe it was before the podcast, watching certain movies that show the phalanx. So it wasn't just that we would stand here and defend, but they would give orders. And that, like if they're fighting up against other enemies, and they would push forward with those shields as well.
Yeah.
And so there's an offensive ideal there with your faith being able to move forward together. So, yeah, this is a fun sermon, right?
It's so cool. I don't know. I'm into it.
it speaks to the grittiness there of the faith. And you can just imagine Paul being looking at a Roman soldier around him and just thinking about these things and saying, you know what? There's an illustration
that's like,
here.
It's like the shield is like your faith.
Yeah. It's this shield of faith. Like, I believe this is true. But what's so important is if for some reason your arm got tired and you're starting to weaken in your faith, that's why you have each other to come alongside, lock shields up together, and allow her faith to help your faith. I think we talked about this in our living, when was it? I think it was this series, but somebody was giving the example of how we needed to be together. Because again, if you're having these negative thoughts, you need someone of like faith to come and invest in you and tell you, no, that's not you.
You're believing the lie.
100%. Yeah.
You're believing the lie. I think the other thing about working together is if you have that chink in your breastplate, sometimes you need someone to say, hey, you aren't seeing this, but you have this big hole there.
Oh, that's good.
And you know, that's kind of what Pastor David talked about last week too, is the idea that, you know, we sometimes are very blind to that. Other people see it plainly, but we are blind to that thing that is a weakness for us. And that, what I find is that one little chink has many tentacles that affect a big many parts of your life. It's not just that one, and especially if it isn't fixed.
Yeah, well, so when they would, some of these chain links that they were told across, there were those big latches that would keep it in there. I mean, it could be that your chink somehow impacts that, and boy, if that latch peels, then your whole drawn together links of chain there just goes.
Right.
Or maybe it's the button over here, if it's leather with the bone and the material inside of it, if that goes, then everything falls out. You know, and your protection is much less, and it causes problems.
I think the worst thing we can do as Christians is if we notice somebody who has a chink in their armor is just to ignore it or to say, well, it's not that big of a deal. So he yelled at his wife, like, meh, I yell at my wife sometimes. What's the big deal?
And the reverse also is, I think that if I have so much pride that I am unwilling to even admit to myself or take that next step to those that I trust, that I believe are there to walk life with me, if I'm unwilling to share that I recognize I've got this anger issue, I recognize I have this negative, I see everything negatively and I'm judgmental. If I can't say that, it also is incredibly destructive because I kind of hold it all in and believe that I'm kind of, you know, alone in this battle and I need to just grit my teeth and stand here by myself and work hard and without really admitting it to others.
Yeah. And I think we need to recognize how serious it is because Paul is here in Ephesians is talking about how serious, like, this is life or death. And I think we just don't take it that seriously.
Well, when he says in here, and we can come back to helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, but he talks about this praying, this wrestling, right? At all times in the spirit. How often do we discount prayer? How often is that a tag on if you have the time? And you'd even say, well, I'm going to read my Bible. I really don't have time to pray. I'm just thank you, Lord, for the word and go or whatever. But we don't really take time and wrestle in prayer for others. I would say this. Got to give credit to my charismatic brothers and sisters here. They have elevated prayer appropriately in many cases. Because I would disagree with them sometimes maybe on what they're praying against maybe sometimes. But praise God that they are praying people. Like they pray. If something happens, they pray and they mean it, and they see it as spiritual warfare, and they see it as battle. And we need to see that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that that wrestling we do in prayer for ourselves, for our children, for our friends, for the gospel going forward, for all of these things, that is the fight. That is a part of the spiritual warfare. And we're wrestling against all these entities, and we're praying because it's not against flesh and blood. I mean, that is such a huge part. And it even says here, you know, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit.
Mm.
So,
I like how you have wrestling.
Yeah,
was that did you put that in there?
I put that in there. Okay. Yeah, it was a mental reminder, because, so we take the helmet of salvation, right? We don't believe lies that we're not saved, or, you know, hey, if I fall, you know, I'm not saved, or I've lost my salvation. We're confident nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? That helps us. Then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we remember Jesus, you know, fighting with Satan in the desert, right? Satan with the word of God, or ask him to do something, block, parry with the word of God, thrust that sword, defeated Satan. We're very confident in that. But then, I mean, right in the same sentence, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and to that mind, keep in mind praying for all the saints. He's telling you right there, look, your hand-to-hand combat, what you're doing with the word of God is, you're praying the word of God. You're praying the word of God over people, over situations, over dynamics.
Amen.
For our word. I mean, we cannot treat prayer as, and I know sometimes when I explain to people that, well, praying is just talking to God like your friend. Okay, well, there's an element to that, but this is also a spiritual warfare where you're calling for his strength, you're calling for his power, you're calling for his might. And man, if you're not doing that, you're straight taking a beating. You know, it's difficult. Oof. Even if you have all these other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to take out. If you're not pulling that all together in prayer, man, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. And so we have to have prayer. And so again, to my more charismatic brethren, I give them credit. And often they're prayer warriors. And they're all the time interceding. And they're all the time doing these things. And just this morning, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the time and trying to go through things. I'm like, where's the prayer? Where's the prayer? Where's the prayer time? Last thing that I want to get, because I know we're about out of time, the aim of the army, right? He's kind of coming out of his illustration. I mean, he's talked about it, but he's kind of coming out of his illustration because he's talking about the gospel of peace and the readiness given by the shoes for your feet. I was reading where in Korea, and it's, you know, it happens in all war, but they didn't have the right shoes. And so it would be cold in the mornings. It'd be freezing, but then in the afternoon it would rain. It'd be cold. It would wet. So your boots, your shoes, your socks would be wet. It'd be freezing again in the morning, and soldiers were having frostbite. They were losing toes. It was bad. You know, all this kind of stuff because they weren't prepared. We need to be ready to fight. You mentioned the spikes in the shoes in the movies. You know, we need to be ready to move aggressively, defend the gospel, stand for the gospel, move aggressively with the gospel. All of these things. And even when Paul is talking the last two verses there in verses 19 and 20, he says, pray for him that he can open his mouth boldly, proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So we've got all of this weapons, the warfare, the word of God, the shield there, but we are advancing and the goal is getting the gospel to the world and living that gospel out. And so I really think this is a big part of that spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And the things that we've talked about here are magnificent and they're supernatural. And we do need to keep that in mind. But those are some practical things that we've talked about that we need to do. You know, we need to be together. Our faith needs to strengthen each other's faith. We need to make sure that the gospel has penetrated every aspect. There's no loose ends. We need to realize that we need to give ourselves up as we die to self, to our bodies as instruments of righteousness, or put on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to remember that God has saved us. If we do fail, if we do fall, helmet of salvation, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Again, all of these things work together. It is our spiritual warfare, and it is how we move forward contending for the faith and overcoming the gates of hell. So,
Whew. Woo, doggy.
How am I going? Man, preaching that in 30 minutes. Ish, 35 minutes.
Good luck, dude.
You know?
No, that was good. Glenna, do you have anything you want to add to the end?
No, I think this is an area that we know is in the scripture, but we tend to kind of ignore it because I do think it's a little out there for mm-hmm. some of us, especially those of us that aren't charismatic. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to be reminded that there is a battle that is spiritual, that is... and that we have an enemy that's trying to find that chink in our armor, mm-hmm. trying to find where he can trip us up, trying and to recognize. I will tell you my little saying, and pretty much everybody that's spent much time with me knows this. When I was a little girl, and I have a sister that's a couple years younger than me, and of course we fought like all sisters do, and my mom used to set us down, and she'd look at us, and she'd say, "Who's happy when you fight?" And of course, what she was saying is that we have an enemy who is Satan, mm-hmm. who wants us mm-hmm. to do this. And for my whole life, I've thought, you know, when things get tough, sometimes I go, who's happy now? Mm-hmm. You know, who's happy when I'm mad at my husband? Mm-hmm. Who's happy when I allow something that hurts me to fester and become yeah. a bad thing? Who's happy? And for me, that has almost become like a mantra, you know, who's happy now? Who's happy that you're in this place? Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we can just be aware, hey, it's not a scary thing. It's not a weird thing. It's just, I have an enemy and I need to be aware. He wants to get me off track.
When my wife gets mad at me next time, I'm going to say, who's happy right now?
Yeah, that's right.
See how that goes. See how that goes.
Well, I don't want to be around.
She'll be like, you know what? Somebody else may be happy, but I'm about to feel better when I pop you. So.
Pop ya. Yeah. Good deal. All yeah.
right. We'll end on that, right?
We'll end on that. Yeah. Well, thanks for watching, guys, and we will see you Sunday. Have a great week.